Thank you so much. So if you can turn with me to Exodus 34. Exodus chapter 34. We're going to read verse 29 to 35. And if and when you find it and you are able to stand, please do so. Exodus 34. We are continuing with our theme, God's revelation is our invitation. From verse 29, the Bible says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And here at Southside Bible Fellowship, we continue to believe that since the Bible is God's word and that we are God's children, let's say together, the Bible is God's word for us. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for opportunities like this so that we can come together and worship you. We pray that your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, may speak to us this morning and teach us. We pray that we may experience you and that your word may accomplish what you intend to accomplish this morning in Jesus' name. May everyone say, Amen. You may be seated. Children, you are released. So Moses descends from Mount Sinai, bringing with him the two tablets of the commandments, the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. These are new copies. They are exact representatives of the old ones that Moses broke when he saw the Israelites worshiping the golden calf. Moses made the tablets, and God wrote on them. They are meant to replace the broken ones. These tablets will later be placed in the Ark of the Covenant as a testimony between God and his people, as a evidence of that covenant relationship between God and his people. And Moses, because of his exposure to the Lord, because of spending time with the Lord, speaking with him for the first time, he comes down the mountain and his face is radiant. His face is glowing. And Moses is not aware of it. But Aaron and the Israelites, as they talk with him, they can feel the radiance on his face. They can see it, but they can also feel it, because actually the wording is, it was like sending rays of light. And the Israelites are terrified. They are afraid of coming near him. I think God is allowing this to happen for the first time to affirm to the real Israelites that Moses is his chosen leader. Because the Israelites had a problem with trusting Moses and following his leadership. We know that last time he stayed longer on the mountain with God, they turned to Aaron and asked him to make a god that they could see. They wanted to replace the Lord with a golden calf. And now, because his face is glowing, his face is sending rays of lights, Moses, after speaking to the Israelites and realizing that they are terrified by his radiant face, he puts a veil on his face to cover himself after speaking with them. Because probably it is a sign of humility. He does not want them to keep on looking at him. He's trying to avoid getting all the attention, but also to make them feel comfortable in approaching him. We are told that every time he went to speak with the Lord, he would take off the veil. Every time he came to speak to the people, he would take off the veil, but after speaking, he would put back the veil and cover himself. The radiant on Moses' face, the radiance on his face, sorry, that glowing, that glory that was being seen on Moses' face was temporary. It did not last forever. It was fading. It was there for a short time. It was not meant to last, but it was meant to portray to us that when we come closer to the Lord, when we spend time with him, we don't remain the same. And Moses' response also teaches us that the closer we get to the Lord, the more we know the Lord, the humble we become. You see, Moses could have walked around just so people could see how radiant his face was. But instead, he covered himself. He covered the glory that was visible on his face. But that glory on Moses' face was temporary. Today, and as you listen to this, you are asking probably, how does this really relate with my life today? How does it connect with me? Thank you for asking. Today, you and I, we don't have to put a veil on our face. We don't have to put a veil on our face because God's glory in our lives is not temporary. God's glory in our lives is permanent because it is the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit in us. So we don't need a veil to cover it because it's not fading. It is permanent. I will still explain that. As a believer, You have the Holy Spirit in you. The day you accepted Jesus as your Savior, God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, moved in. And when he moved in full. That means you are a walking glory of God. Now, that is not an easy thing to accept, especially because we know ourselves. Everyone who knows Jesus as Savior, everyone who lives for Christ, reflects the glory of God. And that glory is greater than the radiance that was on Moses' face. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ is greater than Moses. The message is simple here. A believer is a reflection of God's glory. A believer is a reflection of God's glory. Why am I saying that? Because everywhere you are, God is present. He is present because His Holy Spirit indwells you. He is present because He lives in you, because you are His temple. That means you and I are meant to be a reflection of His glory. That means everywhere we are, people that have never seen God, when they see us, they have an opportunity to see God. That means when I look at you and the way God has transformed your life, I can see His glory in your life because you and I are the reflection of His glory. We are the reflection of His glory because He has chosen to call us His children, because He has chosen to indwell us. God has chosen to show Himself through you and me. He has chosen to make Himself known through you and me. And you may look at yourself and feel inadequate. You may think of the things that you have done. You may consider your behaviors and your failings and your weaknesses and the wrong choices that you have made, and look at yourself and say, no, that cannot be possible. But God looks at you and He knows that you turned to Him and He moved in, and He is saying, yes, it is possible. You look at Moses. When God first appeared to him and called him, Moses was not willing. When God told him that I have come to rescue my people and I am sending you, Moses was unwilling. He pointed at his own weaknesses. He said, I cannot speak well. I'm not the right person. Lord, please send someone else. And God said, no, I have appeared to you. I'm going to use you because I am the one who will be doing the work. Guys, it's not about our strength. It's not about how strong you are, how healthy you are, how smart you are. It's about the Lord. You know that when Jesus died, when He was crucified, and Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew tells us that, when He was nailed on that cross, and when He cried, His last cry, the veil in the temple was torn into two. into two. Do you know what that veil was covering in that temple? That veil was covering the holy of holiest place. Only the high priest was allowed to enter that holiest place. And the high priest, his clothing, his robe, had bells around it. Wherever he was walking, the people were listening. Wherever they heard the bells ringing, they knew that he was still alive. And he was also tied with a rope on one of his legs. And the rope was long enough to remain outside the veil. So wherever the people felt like it was getting too quiet, they would pull the rope. And his response would tell them that he is still alive. That rope was meant to pull him out in case he died in there, because no one else could go in there. It was the holiest of holiest places. Christ comes in, he dies on the cross, and the veil is torn into two. And everyone who was outside the veil, everyone who didn't know what was going on behind the veil, could now see. Because Christ had come to break the barriers. He had come to open up the door. He had come to make a way. He had come to make a connection between us and God. We no longer have to go to the holiest of holiest places. We no longer have to have a veil between us and that glorious place, because we are here to reflect his glory. And Apostle Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I will read from verse 12. He says from verse 12, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even so, this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, behold the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Three things that we are being told here in connection with the glory of God in our lives. One, we are bold. Because we reflect the glory of God, we are bold. We are not afraid. I think one of the best contexts in the Bible is in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been arrested because of preaching Christ. They were arrested, and the council looked at them and they considered them and investigated, and they realized that these guys were uneducated. They don't stand out in the society. They were ignorant, but they were disturbed. What is it that makes them so bold? And they discovered, after investigating, that they had been with Jesus. That's what made the difference. They didn't have a seminary degree. They were not engineers. They didn't have any accomplishments in their lives, but they had been with Jesus, and that made a difference. And they told them that they should not speak about the name of Jesus anymore. And they responded to them and told them, "Choose for yourselves whom should we obey, you or God?" And they said, "We are going to obey God." They remained bold. You look at Christians today and they are, what's the opposite of bold? Fearful, reserved, and bold, or something like that. Christians today are not as bold as they ought to be. We have a tendency of forgetting that we are a reflection of God's glory wherever we are. We prefer to hide. We prefer to be unknown. We are not proud of being Christians. Some of us are more proud of being a Patriot fan than of being a Christ follower. We have the boldness of putting on a baseball jersey or a baseball cap. We have the boldness of showing whom we stand for politically and sharing our political views, even arguing over them. We have the boldness of showing our favorite candidate and standing for them and speaking for them, but we don't have the boldness for standing for Christ. Because we are a reflection of God's glory, we are bold. This is what Paul is saying here. And he says we don't have to cover that glory with a veil, because our glory is permanent. It's not fading away. It's not temporary. We are bold, number one. Number two, we have freedom, liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Do you know that we have believers, people that have been saved and forgiven, but they're still living in bondage? Christ has set them free, but they are living in bondage. Bondage of traditions. Some of us are still in bondage of sin. We have allowed, even though we know that Jesus Christ died for us, even though we have turned to Him to be forgiven, there is still that sin that we have allowed to keep us in bondage. Some of us are not enjoying our faith because the way we were brought up, there was a different way of doing things, and we are still in bondage. We haven't allowed the Holy Spirit in us to take over yet. We haven't allowed His fullness to be in control. We are believers. We talk of the freedom of the Lord, but we don't really enjoy that freedom. We are still behind the veil. We are allowing everything that makes us ineffective in our faith to be the veil in our lives, so that the people around us are not able to see us as a reflection of God's glory. We have believers that are still in bondage. The bondage of self-centeredness. We want to follow Christ in our own way. The bondage of pride. Paul is saying that we are no longer in bondage. We have liberty. We have been set free. Do you know why some of us here cannot even move when they are singing? Most of us who find it difficult to even dance a little bit, when there is a song that demands you to move your body a little bit, some of us will not do that because that's not how we were brought up. Because we were told when you go to church, keep quiet. Your job is to listen. Do what you're asked to do and go back home. But when you go to a baseball game, you are free to do what you want there. Shout, dance, jump, clap, sing if you can. We enjoy that kind of freedom and fail to enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ. That's why the same Christian that you see in church behaving as if they are frozen is the same Christian you will see at a football game shouting and jumping. Sometimes we surprise even our own children and grandchildren. Is this the same dad that we were with church with? We are free, guys. We've been set free. One day we'll come here and we will organize with the music, the praise team, and we only sing songs that require dancing. And I'm not talking about moving your left leg and your right leg. We are bold. We have freedom. And number three, we are being transformed into his likeness. The Spirit of God in us is transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We are not done yet. Okay, God is still working on us. He's not yet finished on us. God is not like those people who go to the gym for a week. They lift weights, and when they start seeing muscles, they stop. They just comfort themselves. Oh, now I am where I want to be. And then a few weeks later, they need to go back to the gym. God is in a continuing process of conforming us to the image of his Son. We are being transformed. We are not a finished product yet. God is still working on us. And sometimes when you fail, remind yourself. You see, Christ is not seen in us or through us just because of the good things that we do. Even in our weaknesses, he is still seen. When we fail, we admit it, that we have failed. And that is still a reflection of God's glory in our lives, because we understand that he is still working on us. We are sinners. We are twisted out of shape. We are far from being persons that we want to be, or even what God intended us to be. All of us. The reason we need Jesus Christ is because we know that we are twisted out of shape. We have missed the mark. We are not the people that God intended us to be. That is why you and I turned to Jesus Christ. And when we did, he moved in and he began to shake things up in our lives. Like a GPS, he began to redirect our paths and our thoughts. And he is the glory that is visible in our lives. And so when we allow things that don't please him, habits that do not bring honor to him, sin that brings and breaks the fellowship, when we allow it in our lives, sin that brings destruction and breaks the fellowship, it covers the glory that should be visible to others. Because you and I are a reflection of his glory. The only thing that will be a veil to that glory is sin. Because sin breaks our fellowship with the Lord. And therefore, we need to continue looking at ourselves. We need to keep on We need to keep on looking at ourselves and praying to the Lord like David and asking him to search our hearts and show us if there is any unclean way and lead us to the way that is everlasting. And for that person that is yet to believe in Jesus Christ, let me tell you the truth, whether you are listening to us online or you are here. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you are twisted. You are out of shape. You need to turn to the Lord and allow him to come to your lives and begin to shake things up. And he will redirect your steps. He will redirect your thoughts. And you will get to a point of saying, things I used to do, I do them no more. Those evil thoughts that I was entertaining, I entertain them no more, because the Christ in me does not allow them. The Holy Spirit that indwells me wants to be visible to others, because I am a reflection of his glory. And when you begin to see yourself that way, you begin to have an impact, not only in the lives of the people that are with you, but also in the lives of the people that God brings to you. You may see a woman. She has her weaknesses. Maybe her health is failing. She lives alone. And you may look at her, and she may not be the first person you are attracted to. But let me tell you, if that woman believes in God, if that woman has a relationship with Jesus Christ, she is a reflection of his glory. That glory in that woman is more powerful than the glory that was on Moses' face. You may see a man. His life may not be in order. He may be struggling. His bank account may be empty. He may be moving from one job to another. He may not stand out. He may be outdated, old style. But if that man has a relationship with Jesus Christ, if he has submitted to him as his Lord and Savior, that man, with all his weaknesses, with all that you can see, you may dislike him, but he is a reflection of God's glory. And you and I, when we look at ourselves and consider ourselves and see all those things that make us feel like we don't deserve to be used by God, God reminds us that we are a reflection of his glory. Because he delights to show himself strong through those people that feel they are weak. So my encouragement to you this morning is this. When you allow yourself to live a transformed life, when you continue to submit to the Lord, you will continue to be a reflection of his glory. And you, regardless of what you think of yourself, you can have an impact in this world, not because of you, but because of the Christ in you. So today, after this service, I don't know how you came in. I don't know what you are thinking when you came in. I don't know what you are thinking of yourself when you came in. I don't know how you were feeling when you came in. But when you are leaving this building today, because you know that you are a reflection of Jesus Christ, walk like a person that reflects the glory of God. Amen. Do not allow a veil. Walk like a person. Yes, you know you have issues that need to be dealt with. Yes, you know that there is something you've been asking God to do and he hasn't done it yet. Yes, you know that you still have worries and thoughts and you are not even sure of your future, but walk out with that mindset. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I am a reflection of his glory, and allow that mindset, that truth, to shape how you see your life, how you see the world, how you approach this life. And I am telling you, you will begin to have an impact in your life. If you have entertained the thought that you are the least likely person to be used by God, here is the news flash. You are the most likely person to be used by God, so that God can have the glory. Father, I want to thank you again for this morning, for your love and for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who indwells us. Thank you for reminding us who we are in your presence. Thank you for giving us the privilege to be called your children. Father, there are so many things in our lives that still need to be transformed. There's a lot of bondage in our lives, Lord, that we need to be set free from. There are still issues that we are struggling with as individuals. And Lord, you know us, you can see us. You know those areas of our lives that need your attention. Those areas in our lives that are acting like a veil. They are stopping us, hindering us from being a visible reflection of your glory. Help us, Lord. Help each one of us in a way that glorifies you to be the woman, the man that you want us to be. Help us, Father, as a church. You've placed us here for a reason. You've placed us here, Father, to reflect your glory. Help us to be that glory, Lord, that others around us will see and experience the transformation that you bring. And do this, Father, for your honor, not for us. Because, Lord, you deserve to be glorified in this place and in our lives. And Father, I want to also pray for those family members that we have been praying for salvation and other issues. Whichever way, God, you want to use us to reach unto them, please do so. And if there is any other means you want to use so that you can reach out to them, Lord, at the point of their needs, Lord, do so. And among us, Father, we also have people that are struggling, Lord, with health issues, even mental issues, mental health issues. And you know them, Lord. I don't have to mention their names. You can see them where they are. You created them, Lord. And they call you their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you may minister to them. I may not have the right words to tell them, but I know that you have the right words, Lord. Reach out to them. Reach out to those that are struggling with memory loss. Reach out to those that are struggling with pain and fear of what is ahead. Reach out to those who are struggling with relationship conflicts. Reach out to those who are struggling with fear of raising their children because they can see what is happening in the world. For grandfathers and grandmothers who are looking at their grandchildren and their heart is just broken because of what is going on, reach out to them and minister to them, Lord, and bring unto them the assurance of your presence and of your work in this world. And Lord, if there is any way that you can use them, please do so, so that in all things you may continue to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.